The next point in Makarim Akhlaq is to be a good host to one's guest. So a Muslim host, whether it's a relative or a friend or even a stranger, when any one of these come, then to be a good host to that guest and to maintain and increase the bonds of love, to keep the ties, these are essential to be a good host. Otherwise, everyone will be out for themselves. Everybody will be leading a selfish, self-centered life in isolation and will not care and be considerate about anyone else. So Allah Ta'ala wants that, no, my believer should have the attribute of being caring and considerate to others and should have love and affection, bonds of love and affection with everyone. So sometimes there are some opportunities where one has to display that love and affection, and that actually is an act of ibadah. So Sayyidina Rasulullah once taught us that if you love someone, you should say to them, "Inni uhibbuka lillah," that I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called izhar muhabba, to express that love. Just like that, when a guest comes, so the host should express their love, to izhar muhabba, show the happiness of their heart. And it doesn't, being a good host doesn't just mean that you have to have very fancy food. Even you can present whatever is simply made in your home at that time, but it's the manner in which you present it. So it's the heartfelt feeling with which you host the guest. That is what will touch the heart of the person who is your guest. So this verse that we recite in the beginning, that they, and we explained this in the very first night of Itikaf, that they prefer those over them, and the Sahib Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had preferred the beggars over himself. So when we look at the hadith and we look at the sayings and stories of Sahaba and the sayings and stories of awliya, then we get a deeper understanding to the practical reality of this verse of Quran, and then our heart will increase in its desire to become a good host and to take gracious and loving care of the guest. Now, that people have get-togethers, I eat at your house, you eat at somebody else's house. But you have to do it for the sake out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the host views the guest as somebody that Allah Ta'ala has sent to him, and that Allah Ta'ala has given me rizq for this person, then it becomes an ibadah. And if it's merely a social exercise, social get-together with ghafla, absent of zikr, then it won't count as ibadah. Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW, that person who believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, means the day of judgment, he will show ikram to the guest, he will be very honorably hosting the guest. Another hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, that whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day will be honorable to their guest, irrespective of giving, will prepare some special meal for the guest, whether it's day or night. So for, what does it mean? That for the first day and night, the guest is with you, then you can make extra fancy food, and then after that you would give them the regular, your normal daily household food. And if they do anything more beyond that, then that is sadaqah, that is just charity. Otherwise means that you can just give them your regular household food and that will count as charity. So it's not necessary that the guest comes and now it's a tremendous burden on you because you think you have to prepare feast every single day and night that they're there, and they're there for a few days. Once there was a sheikh, and he went as a guest to somebody's house, and then the murid did host him for 3 days, but the sheikh had planned to spend give that area a lot of time. So he asked the sheikh on the day of the 40, is today departure or today staying? So every day he would ask, are you going or staying? And every day he would say, I'm staying. And then again the third day, second day, third day. And every day he would ask in the morning, and every day the sheikh would say, I'm still staying. So the poor murid couldn't handle it, so he asked, are you departing or staying? He said, I'm staying. He said, okay, then it's my departure today. I will be departing from the house. So the guest should not become a burden on the host. It should not be a difficulty for the host. And they shouldn't have that expectation that there's going to be a lavish feast at every meal, every day and night that I stay here. But look how clearly Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW is spelling out every single detail. Okay, you've come one day and one night, you will get some extra special care, and he may give you some nice, you know, food. But after that, after one day and one night, you will be a regular guest, and then you should try not to stay for more than 3 days and three nights so that you're not a burden on your host. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah with Anu said to Sayyidina Rasulullah said that the first person who ever was graciously honorable to a guest who began this whole process, that was Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is the noble sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that is continuing up till today. In one narration it comes that this is why Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was called Khalilullah, because he used to be such a gracious host to the guests. And he wouldn't like to eat food unless there was somebody else to join him. So he would be searching for a guest. Even if he was hungry, he would go and he would find some traveler, he would find some person, and he would invite them to join him for the meal so he wouldn't eat alone. Once he brought a person, and that person was old, he was 70 years old. And when he sat that person down, so Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was his practice that he used to begin by saying the name of Allah Ta'ala before he ate. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, but the guest did refuse to do it. So Ibrahim alayhi salam thought that, okay, I won't call him again. So Allah Ta'ala sent revelation to Ibrahim that you called him, but you made intention not to call him again. Why? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said that he didn't join me in taking your name before we ate. So that's why my heart feels I shouldn't invite him again. So Allah Ta'ala said, Ibrahim, I was also feeding him. And he's an old man. I've fed him for 70 years and he never took my name. I didn't stop feeding him. So why are you going to stop feeding him because he didn't take my name? Then another special feature of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used to say salam a lot to whoever came and goes. And the third thing is that Ibrahim alayhi salam used to pray tahajjud. He used to wake up in the night and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So feeding the guest, saying salam to people on the way, and praying tahajjud at night, these were three special attributes of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the guest should try, the host should try, that he should try to do the duties of a host himself. He shouldn't view it as beneath his level. Even if he may have some attendance or help or household help, so they can definitely help him behind the scenes, but the actual act of serving or some part of the hosting should be done by the host himself, so the guest feels personally taken care of by the host as opposed to simply passed off to some household staff member of the host. And also we found that Ibrahim alayhisalam was the host himself and he brought the food himself. And people think that bringing the food and putting it in front of the guest is something for somebody else. No, it's the honor of the host to be able to bring the food and put it in front of the guest personally. Hazrat Lama Habibnatai said that when any Sahib Nisbat would come to our home, I would put the food on my head and view it as my honor to bring the food on my head and serve it to that guest. So he could have brought the food, he could have brought the food in his hand, but no, he used to bring the food on the top of his head because Allah Ta'ala has blessed me so much that a Sahib Nisbat guest has come to my house. So to call the guest, to wash their hands, to place the food yourself in front of them personally, these are things that the host should try that he himself should do. So this honoring the guest is from Makarim Akhlaq. Abdullah bin Umar said that the Prophet said that the most beloved food in the regard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one in which the most number of hands partake of that food. Now this can have two meanings. The first meaning means that when you are going to invite people, if you have ability, then invite however many people of your friends to whom you have the ability. The more hearts that are joined together, the more Allah Ta'ala's mercy will descend. And the second is that, or second meaning is that you should eat out of big dishes, so that everybody can eat from the same dish, so there are multiple hands eating from the same plate, so there will be more barakah. Once Sayyidina Rasulullah had made a wooden bowl, or you could say wooden platter, and that used to stay outside Masjid Nabawi, and they used to slaughter and cook the meat of an entire camel, and then they would put all of that in that big wooden platter. And then the Sahaba Ikram used to just go and sit all around that wooden platter, and they would eat by sitting on their knees, and they would extend their hand and eat from the wooden platter. So this was the way that the Sahaba used to be hosted. So to have large plates and platters, there is also another wisdom there. You will see in the homes, they didn't have small plates, they had large platters, and they would just put food in the platter. Sayyidina Anas Radhiallahu Anhu says that when a person makes a home, he should pay zakat of the home by making a room as a guest room so that he can take care of the guests. What does it mean? That if somebody is building a home, he should have an intention that, okay, if a guest comes, there should be some area, part of the room or a separate room for the guest. And many people, we've seen that in their homes, they do have some space that they have designated for the guest. And this is a very good habit and is a good way to be grateful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Rasulullah was asked, what is iman? And the Prophet responded, to feed people food and to pray tahajjud. Then he was asked, what is the maqbool hajj? The Prophet said that to feed people on that hajj and to speak well and to have good conversation with them. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that when you feed someone, you should feed the people of taqwa. So if you want to have a gathering, you should invite the muttaqeen, as opposed to inviting the friends of sin and the friends of ghafla. So when they come to eat your food, they will just get some energy, and they are going to use that energy to disobey Allah Ta'ala. So you're feeding them to give them the energy to disobey Allah Ta'ala if you know them to be a sinner. So rather, it is better that you call those people who are engaged in the worship, remembrance, and obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then when you give them food, they will use the energy from that food to do the ibadat and zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And it comes in hadith that person who fulfills the legitimate need of their friend, Allah Ta'ala will be forgiven. A person who fulfills the legitimate desire of their fellow believer, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them. That's why when our mashayikh used to invite someone, they would find out that what type of food do they like to eat. Now today people also do the same thing, but they don't make niyyah of this hadith, so they don't get the sawab. That if you can, if there's anything that is permissibly pleasing to a believer, to please them in that way is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would try to find out what their likes were, and they would then try to prepare the food and present it accordingly. And by means of this, then Allah Ta'ala would forgive them for their sins. And that person who has made his fellow believer happy, it is as if they have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. That's why the ulama have written that if the host asks you what do you like, so you should tell him, so that the host can get the ibadat and sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people say, no, I have no preferences, whatever you like, I'm fine. So you do have preferences, why are you saying that you don't have any preferences? That's not true. So what? There's nothing to hide. If he's sincerely, genuinely asking, then you should sincerely, genuinely tell him, because your telling him will enable him to get sawab, and by you enabling him to get sawab, you'll get sawab. Plus on top of that, you get to eat your favorite food. Ibn Abi Dunya Rahimahullah Ta'ala narrated a hadith that person who gave their fellow believer a permissible pleasure and fulfilled their permissible wish, then Allah Ta'ala will write for them 1,000,000 good deeds and forgive 1,000,000 sins and give them 1,000 darajat in Jannah, and he will get food from 3 of the levels of Jannah. So 3 levels of Jannah of food will come to him: Jannat al-Khuld, Jannat al-Firdaus, and Jannat al-Adhan. 3 Jannat's food will come for him. The ulama have given some guidelines for the host. The host, number one, the host can make 7 intentions and combine 7 intentions when he decides to invite someone. And the more and more intentions you make, the more and more sawab a person will get. That's why some ulama have said that if when a person changes clothes, they can make 40 intentions as to why they changed their clothes. So this is the difference between us and the ulama. That because we don't know these things, we don't know how to make more than one intention, or sometimes we without any intention just change our clothes. But the ulama do the same act, which is a mundane act of changing clothes, but they get a lot of hasanat and reward for that amal. And they knew that in nafil works, nafil act, voluntary extra acts, you can combine multiple intentions simultaneously. So the 7 intentions of being a host. The first intention is to do obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm obeying Allah ta'ala because Allah ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that I should host the guest. Second intention, I am doing amal on the sunnah, because Sayyidina Rasulullah also was a gracious host to the guest. Third, that I am being kind to my fellow believer, which is also an act of ibadah. Fourth, I'm making the heart of my fellow believer happy, which is also an ibadah. Fifth, that I'm removing a difficulty from him because he's traveling or he's coming and he doesn't know where to eat and what to do or where to stay. So if I host him, I will, or if he was hungry and he doesn't have food or any reason, he won't have any tension because he knows he's invited at my place. And then I will meet a fellow believer, and that's also an ibadat in our deen. And the last intention is that by doing this, I will get the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Radha'i Ilahi. So a person should join these seven intentions, then Allah Ta'ala will give a person multiple, seven times the reward of being a gracious host to the guest. A person should be a host, but no matter what he does, he will never be able to completely fulfill the right of the guest. Shaykh Abu Hassan al-Kharkani said that if I could make all of the blessings of the world into one morsel and feed that into the guest, even then I have not fulfilled the right of the guest over me as a host. So you should never think that, oh, I've fulfilled the rights of being a good host. You should just think that however much Allah Ta'ala blessed me, I did try to the best of my ability, and I hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala will accept it from me. The ulama of Ma'awar al-Nahar means Central Asia say, have written that that night that you have a guest with you, the host should be so happy as if it's the night before Eid. That's how happy you should feel that night a guest stays for an overnight stay. So the ulama of Ma'awar says that when I went to this area, Central Asia, I had this experience that once when I went there, the host told me that when the guest comes to our house for 24 hours, there will always be somebody awake. Even at night, they have distributed the time between each other, even men and women. There will never be any second in which there's a guest at home and there's not somebody who's not awake. The host said, why? He said that because it's possible that the guest may have any need, and it should not be that the host is sleeping while the guest has a need. The host should put the food in front of the guest, and the host should serve the food also. So instead of telling the guest that, okay, here's the food, the guest will sit there and do a bit of formality, takalluf, and only take a little bit of the food from the serving dishes. So this is a bit natural sometimes initially, so we want to remove this. So it's also a good idea to break the ice and say something friendly and informal so the person starts eating in a relaxed manner. At the same time, you should not do israr, you should not impose on the guest. We all make a mistake that you must eat, and maybe the person's sick, or maybe he's not feeling like eating, or the food doesn't suit him, or he came and ate from elsewhere, his food is already full. So it's not necessary that eating is good for him at this time. It may be that if he eats now, it's a difficulty for him. So you shouldn't insist. If he only eats a little bit, then be happy. And if he eats well and a lot, you should still be happy. And the host should not count how much the guest has eaten. Or counting the bones that are left. How many T-bones are there in his plate? So this, maybe you can count the bones if you want at the end and get an idea of how much he ate. But don't count his morsels. So that guest who does need to stay for a long period of time, such as you have family members or somebody who you have close love, then they will stay more than 3 days. They may stay a week, your family may stay 5 weeks with you. So in that case, the host should never be happy to let the guest eat somewhere else. If the host expresses his happiness that the guest should eat somewhere else, then that means that the host was burdened. So if somebody else invites your guest, you should say to your guest that my preference is you should only eat here. And at least then your guest will feel that, okay, I'm not a burden on this person, but I have this other person that I want to meet and make them happy and spend time with them. So he'll go, but he won't feel that he was forced to go, or that it was better for him to go, or that he was a burden, therefore he had to go. And our Mashaykh mentioned that any meal, if you combine four things, then four things that are all present in any act of feeding or meal giving and taking, then Allah Ta'ala will put every type of khair in that food. Number one is that the food must be completely, absolutely halal. And second, that Allah Ta'ala's name should be read over that food when it had been cooked and prepared. Sometimes there's some women that while they're cooking and preparing the food, they even recite Surah Yaseen while cooking, or they recite some other surahs, or Durud Sharif Salawat, or they do Zikr of Kalima, or they're making Istighfar, or they make some other ayat of Quran, or other du'as, or zikr. This is a very good habit, that this was the sunnah of the Sahabiyat. It's written in the books that mention the incidents of the Sahabiyat. That she started making bread, and when she was finished with the whole process, she said, "Oh, my sister, take the bread. The process of baking the bread is finished, and I've also finished three juz during this process." And she recited three juz of Quran during the course of baking the bread. But we don't have this, so we eat food of ghafla. And even people aren't careful enough to make wudu, cook food when they're in a state of wudu. Our elders used to train their wives that you must cook the food while you're in a state of wudu and a state of dhikr. So you should say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, istighfar, durud sharif. You should be saying some zikr with your tongue while you're cooking. And we've said that indeed, that food that has been made by a woman who has wudu and she was making dhikr, that food will automatically become pleasurable and tasty. And you should eat that food over which Allah's name has been mentioned, and that on which they are more hands that are extended towards that food. When you're free from that food, then you should do hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are five things that if you combine them, it will put barakah on that food. Number one, that when the guests come, you should gather them all together to the table spread. They don't know where to sit, so you should tell them that, please, you sit here, let's sit on that side of the room. So to seat the guest is the first step in ikram. So when Sayyidina Salman of Farsi came to the Prophet, he is the student of the Prophet. So when he came to the Prophet, the Prophet gave him a pillow and told him that, why don't you lean on this pillow? And told Sayyidina Salman that that person who extends a pillow and to them to person to lean on, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person for their sins. Now look, this is such a small act to do, but if a person doesn't know it, look at the incredible reward that they miss. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he came once to the Prophet ﷺ, and at that time there were a lot of people with the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet tossed his shawl in their direction and told them that spread that shawl and sit on this and sit on it. And look at the love of the Prophet ﷺ, showing such good values, practically demonstrating how to host, be a gracious host to the person who comes, so that you should seat them. Now, there was not enough space for the two newcomers to sit on the carpet. So then the Prophet ﷺ told them his own shawl and asked them to spread it out and sit upon it. And he told them that spread my shawl. So when they grabbed the shawl, they started clasping it to their breast. They couldn't put it on the ground. So the two of them started clasping the shawl to their breast. And then they kissed the shawl, and then they said that may Allah Ta'ala be as gracious to you, our beloved Prophet, as you have been gracious to us. So then Sayyidina Samson responded that if the gracious, honorable people of a community come to you, you should do ikram of them, be gracious to them. So if an alim comes, or an elder of the family, elder or local elder, neighborhood elder, whoever is viewed as the elder, you should do ikram of them. This is also an act of ibadah. Then, in front of the guest, do not ever scold the household staff. So if you have a khadim, to scold the khadim, that gives the feeling to the guest that, oh, he's a bit irritable. Maybe I'll be the next one he's going to get angry at. So now you put the guest at unease. So then, when you're done eating, don't hold the guest back if he wants to go. He may have an onward journey, he may have some place he needs to be at, or if you need to put him to sleep, let him go to sleep. So don't have a long, drawn-out conversation after the meal. And this is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, that when you've eaten, فَانْتَشِرُوا, you should go back to your places, you should spread back out to your homes. At times you may invite multiple guests to home, and some come on time and some haven't come yet. What should the host do in that situation? So the jurists have mentioned that you should wait a little bit beyond the scheduled time, and then if they don't come, don't wait. And the ones who've come, you should feed them in a first shift. And the ones who come later, you can wait and feed them later. You shouldn't punish the ones who are present for those who came late, but they're sitting there and they're waiting and waiting and waiting for the food because you're waiting for that one remaining guest to come. No, you should serve the food, and when that guest comes late, you have to serve it again to him late. Then, next thing is you should wash the guest's hands before and after the meal. And so these were the etiquettes of being a host. Just like that, there are etiquettes of being a guest. What should the guest do? If a person becomes a guest, he should tell them immediately on arrival that, would you like to eat now or later? Why? Because it might be that he's very hungry and would like to eat immediately, but the host doesn't know that maybe we'll wait for the meal time to come and then we'll serve the food. Or maybe the other way around, that he's already full and the host may think, okay, I should serve the food immediately. And he serves the food, but the guest is not even really hungry. So either way, it's difficulty. So then the guest should inform the guest should tell the host openly when he comes that, oh, let's eat now, or I would like prefer to eat later, or I have a habit of eating at this time. Whatever it is his preference, he should share it with the host. Second, if a person becomes a guest at somebody's place, it's not permissible for him to bring somebody else along. Oh, you know, somebody's invited me, why don't you come along also? So you're not the host, you're the guest. So only the host can choose to invite more people. If the guest is living at somebody's place and the guest is going to go out, he should tell the host that, okay, I'm going out and I'll be back at this time, I'll be going out tomorrow. It shouldn't be that he just disappears and the host doesn't know, is the guest here, is he gone, where is he? The next is that the guest should, if he uses anything of the house, he should try to return it to its original condition, put it back in its proper place. They shouldn't rearrange the whole room, because that will make it difficult for the host and may disturb the host. So you shouldn't disturb the order and sequence and arrangement of things, because the host has obviously arranged everything according to their pleasure. So you should leave it in that arrangement. If there are some papers and documents, it doesn't mean that you can read their letters and read their office work and read their documents. So the guest does not have the right to read anything of the host. And he doesn't have permission to use or read the personal private items of the host. If the guest go somewhere, he shouldn't start ordering around the household staff. So they already start giving orders to the staff. No, the Sharia has forbidden that. That person who is a guest at some place and the host does ihsan, the host makes him feel indebted. So then the guest should not eat there. It's actually the guest's ihsan on the host that the guest agreed to come, not the host's ihsan on the guest. Then we should try to accept the invitation quickly, because that's ittiba' sunnat. And the Prophet ﷺ said that you should accept the food invitation quicker, because the Prophet said that the five rights that a believer has over their fellow believer, and one of those five things was that to accept the invitation. If somebody invites you and the other person says no without any reason, then this is not pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes Allah can even punish a person for this. Why? Because that invitation comes from Allah Ta'ala. Once there was a person who was invited and says, I turned him down. Says, for 14 days, my risk was stopped and I was hungry for 14 days. So then I realized that actually that was a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah Ta'ala that I was hosted, and I was spurning the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat says that I had a friend who was very muttaki, but he never used to eat dinner. That was his habit. One day he went from Lahore to Jung and he had five or six friends there in Jung. So he went to one place and he said, oh, let me bring something for you to eat. And he said, no, I have to go meet the other person, I'll eat over there. So the first host became quiet then. So then he went to his second friend. He said, oh, let me go get something for you to eat. And he said, no need. I'm going onward to meet another friend and I'll eat over there. So his intention was always that he always say this to everyone. And then the last one was his really good friend, and there I'll eat. So when he told the third person, they had already prepared all the food, it was ready, and said, we were just waiting for you. He said, no, I didn't come here to eat. I just came to meet you. So by the time he kept doing this at everyone. When he reached the last one, And then his wife opened the door and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, my husband's gone. I had to go all of a sudden on a journey, so he's not home." Now, he didn't eat anywhere, but now at this last place he can't eat. Now, what can he do? And he has no place to stay either. So then he had to go all the way back on the bus to Lahore. And 18 to 20 hours had passed, and he hadn't eaten anything. And then he fell sick for 3 months. So what does that mean? That you shouldn't say no to Allah Ta'ala's blessing without any reason. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala may discipline you for that. The guest should early on inform the host about if they have any diet restriction in terms of sugar or salt or spicy, that I have blood pressure, I can't have salty foods, or I'm diabetic, I can't have sweet foods, or I have digestive issues, I can't have spicy foods. Whatever your legitimate need is, you should inform the host in advance. Hazrat Ghulam Abi Atale used to say that you should never combine lying and hunger. What does it mean? That a person is hungry and the person says, "Can I get you something?" And you say, no, I'm okay. Why? But you're lying. You're actually hungry. So what you just did, you combined lying and hunger. So you should never combine these two things. And then also that the guest should eat, but the door through which the host comes from the inner chamber, he shouldn't keep looking at that door expectantly that maybe yet another item is coming. What dish is coming next? Maybe there's a dessert. So he shouldn't keep looking at that door over and over again. The guest, when he stays at the house of the host, shouldn't ask for anything other than salt or water. You can ask for water if there's no water in front of him, and if there's no salt, he can ask for salt. Beyond that, he shouldn't make any request. There are four things the guest should do. Wherever he is seated, he should sit there. Whatever food is served, he should eat it. He shouldn't leave without taking permission. And after he's done eating, he should make dua for his host. An average mistake people make, common mistake people make, is that the guests are sitting and the host has gone to bring something to drink, and he gives the first one a glass, he passes it onward. So even this is against the adab. The guest, it's not the right of the guest to give it onward. In whatever the host wants to personally give to each guest, so if he's put it in your hand, you keep it in your hand. And maybe it's possible that he knows that you're diabetic, he gave you something that's sugar-free, and you passed it onward to the person who can actually drink sugar. And then later, when you get the ordinary one which has sugar, you say, "Oh, I can't drink it because I'm diabetic." So the Sharia has taught us this, that if the host puts something in front of you, you shouldn't yourself put it in the plate of another guest. So whatever you're getting, you can should simply eat that happily. Yes, there are some relatives and family members who are so close to us that we're not really a guest there. We're a host as well. There's no distinction between guest and host. So if you have some really close relationship, then you can be like that informally and don't have to follow strictly these adab. If the guest arrives at the home of the host tired, then the host should press their feet, do khidmat of them. Maulana Wahajuddin was an alim, and one day he went to go to Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Ramtale, and Sheikh Shah Abdul Rahim gave him food and then told him to lie down, and then Hazrat himself pressed his feet. If on the way to the invitation there are other people along with you, you must. It's better that you tell the host the number of the people you're bringing. For example, if the host made food for four and you show up with 10 people, because he told you that, oh, you and your friends can come, but you have to let them know in advance what the number that is. If the guest has told the host the food that you like, then the host can get very happy. Once there was a person who used to work in saffron, and they used to in Baghdad, and they used to come Saffroni Baghdadi, the saffron dealer or Baghdad. Once Imam Shafran, they stayed there as his guest. His slave, she came, and she asked Imam Shafran that, is there, if there's any preference you have, please tell me, we're about to cook the food. So Imam Shafran wrote the name of a particular type of food on the piece of paper she had. So when the Zafrani Baghdadi fellow came back, and the slave said that your guest himself has written what food he wants, and he got so happy, the host, that he freed the slave girl. He was so happy that, oh, my guest told me himself what food he likes. I'm so happy to know that. So in that of happiness, I free you. Shekhar Hazrat the Tanviramtai person, Hajim Hadadal Majam Hakimtai, once came to him as a guest. And we've heard that he made a lot of dishes and put that in front of a sheikh. Now this is not israf, going to extreme or being excessive. It's because you don't know what the guest likes to eat. So therefore put as many things as possible so the guest will be able to select something that is suitable to him. And it's not israf because it's not that the food will be thrown. There are plenty of family members who will be able to eat the food that is not eaten, that is laid in front of the guest. And it was the habit of our mother that even if 2, 3, 4 guests would come, she would put every single food that was available in the house in front of the dastakhan. And I would be amazed that there's only 4 people and she's putting so much food. So he asked his mom, Amr Haji asked his mother, and the mother said that no, if a guest comes, whatever we have, we should put in front of them so they can choose whatever they like. And then it comes in a date that the leftover food of the guest is as barakah, so when we remove the stuff from the spread, whatever is left over will now have barakah in it, because at least we presented it once to the guest. Junaid Baghdadi used to say that there are 3 instances in which Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends. When people eat together, when they speak together about the love for Allah Ta'ala, when they do zikr muraqabah together. So on these 3 cases, Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends upon the people. Hatim Asr used to say that you should not make a mistake in 5 things. You should be hasty in 5 things. Number 1 is to get a girl arranged in nikah, to bury the dead, to repay a loan, and to make tawbah from sins, and to feed the guest. Jafar bin Muhammad Rahmatullah said that you should have a long dastakhan, because the time you spend on the dastakhan is such that Allah Ta'ala won't take hisab of that time. And it comes in hadith that that food which there is a child there, Allah Ta'ala won't take hisab of that food. Allah Ta'ala won't take hisab of our suhoor, of our iftar, or of the food that is served to a guest. What does hisab mean? It doesn't mean that you can put haram and you won't be called to account for it. Hisab means that the food is halal, but it's still a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that you will be asked about your blessings, that how did you use the blessings I gave you. But this blessing, that if you use the blessing to serve a guest, you won't be asked about that blessing on the Day of Judgment. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that once there will come a day that you will wear the clothes that is like the kiswa or the shroud of the Kaaba. And at that time also the Kaaba had very fine fabric used to shroud it. And the Prophet predicted this for the Sabbath, there will come a day when you also wear fine clothing and lots of dishes will be presented in front of you. When the delegation from Ethiopia, the king of Ethiopia came, the Prophet himself stood and served the food. So Sahaba told the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, you said we are here to do their service." And the Prophet said, "No. The Najis, the king of Ethiopia, he welcomed my companions when they did Hijrah. So now he is here, I will personally do my ikram of him." Junaid Baghdadi Ramtale, once a very strange thing happened to him. That is that his father had arranged for a meal and the son that there was a murid and the father, his father had a banquet, and because his son was murid of Sheikh Abdul Junaid Baghdadi, so he asked Junaid Baghdadi to come. When Junaid Baghdadi came, their father said, "I don't know who you are, I didn't invite you, go back home." Then again the son invited him, then again the father sent him back, and this happened 4 times. Then the son, neither did the father complain to the son that why do you keep inviting him, nor did the son say anything to the father, why do you keep turning him away. So 4 times he came. Then at that time he was understanding the Jaliyat of Aliyah, and he understood that Allah Ta'ala wanted to show me that if I want, I can open the, attract you towards my blessing, and if I want, I can close the door for you when you arrive. Everything is in my control. So Junaid Baghdadi told his murid, that son, don't feel bad at all. In fact, I got a big benefit in this experience. So I'm very happy, and I understood this about Allah Ta'ala, that he can open and close the door for me at will. Then our Shaykh and our sisters of Khwaja Abu Hasan Karkani Namtale, he said a very strange thing. He said that for 40 years of my life, I have always cooked extra food for the guest. If a guest came, and if the guest didn't come, then I would eat it myself. And as whatever food I made, I always be near to making it for a guest. And if no guest came, I would eat it, and it would be like the leftover for the guest. Sayyidina Rasulullah, even before the Prophethood was revealed upon him, he was very gracious towards the guest. Khadija Kubra, she said about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that indeed you are the one who mends the ties that are broken, and one aspect of that is that you honor the guest. And to host the guest, Allah Ta'ala puts a lot of barakah in our wealth. In one battle, one Sahaba had to remain hungry for a long number of days. And in those 3 days, they did ziba of 3 camels. So when the head of the army found out that he has slaughtered 3 camels, so he came to stop them. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this intention on their hand, and He put so much barakah in their wealth that on the way back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them 4 orchards or gardens of fruit. So the guest was getting the risk before, and later the host gets their risk. So when the risk that you need to feed the guest that is sent to you earlier, and the guest comes to you later. So when the guest comes, don't think he's taking from your risk. He's eating his own risk that was delivered to him, delivered for him to you. And he's only coming for the risk that is his. He's not taking any of your risk away from you. Once there was in a nearby village to where Hazrat lived, so there was an alim who lived there, and he came and he told Hazrat a story, and he was an eyewitness to the story. He said that there were rural villagers, and once there was a husband and wife who had some marital disagreement. And when they started exchanging hot words with each other, at exactly at that moment, a family member came as a guest. Now, the wife then had him sit in the front room. The host had him sit in front room, and then he went back and told his wife, I have a guest, is there any food? And the wife was angry. She said, there's no food for you, there's no food for your guest. So when the home government is angry, then the treasury is closed. So now he didn't know what to do. She said, there's no food for you or your guest. And then she went into the room in a huff. Now he was standing there, what do I do? This my family relative is a guest. So he went back to the front room and sat with the guest, and he thought that the guest is going to come sooner or later. He's going to expect that I have to serve him food. What am I going to, tell him this? My wife is angry with me, and me and you are hungry tonight. So what should I do? Well, there's my neighbor, and they're good friends of mine, and they're also family of ours, and we're very free with each other and formal with each other. So he went over there to the neighbor. He said that I have a guest who's coming home, and my wife is not feeling in her best way. I mean, she was physically well, but she wasn't emotionally well. So she says, my wife's not really feeling too well right now, so if you could make some food for the guest. So they were happy. They said, fine, yes, we love, we'll send, cook some food and send it shortly. So now he was relaxed, that okay, now I won't be embarrassed, and the guest won't be hungry. So he went back and he sat with the guest, and they thought that okay, after a while he realized, at least let me go to the kitchen and make some water or make some yogurt drink. I can make something until the food comes from the neighbor. So when I went into the kitchen, he saw that his wife was crying, and he was amazed. And he said that she's a very hard-hearted woman. She never cries. So he was stunned. And then she started saying that, please forgive me. And he asked her, are you okay? And she said that I refused you because I was angry with you and I wasn't going to cook for you. But I shouldn't have said no to the guest. And I felt bad later that, why should I punish the guest? The argument between me and you. And then I said, okay, forget it, I'll go make food. So when I left my bedroom and I went to the kitchen, then I'll make food for the guest. And the second I opened the kitchen, I saw there was an old man with a very radiant face with a white beard, and he was taking some flour out. So I got scared that who is this? And he told me that don't worry at all. This was actually the risk of the guest that was sent to you, but because you're not feeding him, it's being sent to the neighbor's house. So she said, I felt so sad that Allah Ta'ala had sent the risk of the guest for me, and this is my ill fate that I've missed out this opportunity to feed this person, and now the neighbor is getting this opportunity. So the guest comes later, Allah Ta'ala sends the risk for that guest earlier.
Yeah.
In one hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said that as long as the spread is laid out, Allah Ta'ala sends an angel who keeps making dua for the mercy of the people of the household of the host. As long as they spread it out, the Allah Ta'ala's angels keep making dua of mercy for the host and his entire household. And we saw a strange thing in the ulama of Central Asia, Mawara al-Nahar, that whatever home you go to, we, in our culture, we put the spread on the ground. They have a small height table which is 1.5 foot high. So if you sit on the ground, the food will be a little bit like this high. So a person can eat with ease. So that is where they spread the food out. So there's a benefit to that also, is that the food isn't below a feet. Otherwise, normally, if you sit, the food is at the same level or below the feet, so that is also against adab. So we saw that in every home, whenever we used to go, they would take us straight from the door to that table and seat us on that table. And on that short table already, there were dry fruits and sweets and all types of things to eat. And they would simply, and there was a mesh covering on it, they would just take it off and they would say, sit. So Hazrat said that, what is this practice of yours? And the Alim said that we read this hadith, that as long as the spread is laid out, the angels keep making dua, so we have keep it out for 24 hours. So we always get the du'as from the angels. So how many people actually can afford to always have something even small there, but they don't do amal on it because they don't know? There was one wali that if anybody used to invite him, he would accept it very quickly. Someone asked him that, Shaykh, you really accept people's invitations very quickly. And you accept people's invitations very quickly. So the Shaykh replied, The reason I accept the invitation quickly is because when I go and eat in somebody's place, I start remembering Jannah. And just like Allah Ta'ala is letting me eat here effortlessly without any working on my part, just like that, I'm hopeful Allah Ta'ala will give me food in Jannah effortlessly, without any working on my part. There are many, many incidents about the Salaf Salihin, about them hosting, being gracious host to the guests. I'll just mention one or two to you. First is that incident about which the verse was revealed, that once a person came from far away to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ asked that, who will be willing to be a host for this person? So it was once Ansari Sahaba who took him back with him, and he told his wife that, I brought a guest with me. And the wife said that we at home only even have food for one person, and there's already me and you and the children have to share that food. He said, but I brought him to the house, what can we do? So she said, okay, this is what we'll do. I will just put the kids to sleep without food. I will just touch them and pat them and gently lull them to sleep. And me, I will go without food for tonight. And you, what you should do is that when you sit with the guest, you should sit with him. But if you don't eat, then the guest will find it awkward to be eating alone. So I will put the food there, and then I will act as if I'm trying to fix the lantern, but I'll end up extinguishing it. And the guest will assume that the lantern is being fixed and they will put it back on shortly. At that time, make sure you tell the guest to eat, and you also extend your hand as if you're eating, but you can't eat anything, so that the guest can eat to his full. And this is exactly what happened. The wife didn't eat, and the husband didn't eat, and the children didn't eat. And it was enough for one person, and that one person's worth of food went to that guest. That's why Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, that they prefer others over themselves, even though they themselves are in a state of need and want. So Allah Ta'ala loved this so much, until the day of judgment the Quran will be read, and Allah Ta'ala will want us to remember and commemorate their sacrifice. So there have been hosts like that who are that gracious. And once a Jew came to the Prophet Sallallahu and the Prophet gave him some food, and he ate a lot of it. He overate. He tried to eat everything that was in front of him. So now, when you overeat so much, your stomach is going to go bad. Once there was a person, a separate story now. Once a person was a guest, he had made 20 rotis for his guest, and he ate 19 and gave one back. So the host asked, why did you give this one back? And he said that, you know, my stomach is bad. You want to make my stomach bad by feeding me 20? I'll just eat 19. So in the Hadith, the Prophet said that the Muslim eats from one intestine, and the kafir, he eats from seven intestines. So there's no limit how much a person can stuff themselves. So anyway, going back to the story, so he ate a lot and well, and yes, his stomach, the Jew, he ate well what the Prophet gave him, and his stomach became upset. And then he felt some wind coming up from his body, and he tried to pass the wind, and then actually he ended up defecating in his bed. And he was so embarrassed that I have spoilt the bed and it's now all smelly. So he woke up and he just quickly left. And then he went, whenever he left, he went, he must have showered and washed his clothes. So when the Prophet came after Fajr to check on the guest, he saw the guest isn't anywhere, but there's feces in the excrement in the bed. And meanwhile, the Jew who had left the Prophet's house, it occurred to him that, oh, I left behind my wallet or my money. So he had to come back. So when the Jew came back, he saw that the Prophet hadn't told anybody about the problem, but instead the Prophet himself was cleaning the impure bedding. So when the Jew saw this, then he accepted Iman and became a Muslim forever. So Sayyidina Rasulullah, he fulfilled the right of the guest. This is what it means to be the gracious guest, or gracious host to a guest. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this, that we should be so happy if a guest ever comes, the way a person is happy at the night before Eid, and what will happen as a consequence, and it comes in Sharia, that you will get reward from the same category of deed that you do. This is a general usul and principle in Sharia, that as you sow, so shall you reap. So what will happen? That whomsoever is a gracious host to a guest, in exchange for that, Allah Ta'ala will become a gracious host for that person and make him his guest in Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala gather us to receive the blessings of Allah Ta'ala in Jannah for those. Make Muraqaba.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
سبحان رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
O Lord, we are weak and sinning servants and slaves. We have presented ourselves in your court. Allah, accept our presence. Accept our gathering here in this itikaf. Accept the days and nights of itikaf. Ya Allah, whatever acts of worship we did, accept them, Ya Allah. Whatever good deeds that we have intended, accept it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us for all of our sins. Overlook our faults. Conceal our shortcomings. Ya Allah, the same way that you have guided us, Ya Allah, we ask you to be our guide through the Akhirah. Same way that you can, Ya Allah, the same way you conceal our faults in this world, Ya Allah, we ask that you conceal our faults from others in the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, we ask that you decree for us the same gaze of mercy that you put on Sibli and Fazail ibn Iyaz, but the same gaze of rahmat upon us, the same gaze that you put upon Hassan Basri and Talay, put the same gaze of Nasr upon us. Ya Allah, we claim, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you have decided that you don't want to forgive us, still we ask you to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. So when the angels present the book of deeds to the Prophet ﷺ of his ummah, the Prophet will be amazed that look at this ummati of mine, that I spent years and years crying over my ummah, and he has brought years and years of sin and ghafla. So we don't want to be a source of disappointment to the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. Instead, Allah Ta'ala, we beg for you that you forgive us for our sins, and then you give us the hidayah and the right guidance. Ya Allah, it's just one decision of yours, and we will be guided for our entire lifetime. Ya Rabbi, can you please glance at each and every one of us at least once with your rahmah and mercy? Ya Allah, we are improper, immodest, we are sinners, but Ya Allah, whatever we are, we still belong to you. We are still from the ummat of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, because of this nisbat, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. On the Day of Judgment, let us not be embarrassed in front of our Mashaykh. Let us not be disgraced in front of them. Ya Rabbi Kareem, please grant us Jannat al-Firdaus. Grant us sanctity from all of the things in Jannat. Ya Allah, you can enable us to become exactly the way you want us to be. Make yourself pleasing by doing what is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, give us the ability to get all the makanam akhlaq. Ya Allah, keep Hazrat's shade over us for a long period and spread his fez all over the world to the four corners of the world. And Ya Allah, we ask that you enable us to benefit from his fez, benefit from his power. Ya Allah, we just have few days left, but Ya Allah, if you don't send your mercy on us in these 3 days, then we will remain unforgiven. Ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us, Ya Allah. Proclaim it, Ya Allah. Pronounce it, Ya Allah. Address it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to be merciful with us, kind with us. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask you to accept our Shaykh. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.